Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits and employee health. Together, we're going to deep dive into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits and employee health. We will be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other lines of coverage, we've got you covered. So join your hosts, Caroline and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits and improve your health. Today, we're going to be talking about health savings accounts. So we've got some questions for you, really just kind of an intro into them, what they are. What we're trying to do here is, if you've never had experience with an HSA, or maybe you're looking at going from a PPO to a high deductible health plan, it might be time to start looking at health savings account, how they benefit you and your family, how you utilize them, etc. So Caroline, the first question I wanted to ask you is really just two basic, right, defining questions around what is a health savings account and then what are the eligibility requirements to open one?
Absolutely. So a health savings account is exactly what it sounds like. It's an account that is designed to allow you to save money for eligible medical expenses. So to qualify or to be eligible to participate in a health savings account, number one, you have to be enrolled in what is considered a qualified high deductible health plan. You can't have any participation in like a spouse's plan or a non-qualifying high deductible health plan. The employee cannot be claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return either.
So for example, Caroline, so if I'm a 22-year-old, let's say, and I'm still on my parents' health insurance plan, that would make me ineligible to open a health savings account because I'm not on my own.
That is correct. You would not be eligible to contribute or open up your own account. However, if your parents were enrolled in a qualified high deductible health plan, the funds that they contribute into their HSAs, they could use for your qualified medical expenses since you are still a tax dependent.
And when you talk about qualified health expenses, an example of those would be, right, I go to the doctor and I need XYZ medication. I can go to the pharmacy and I can use vast majority of the time my health savings account to pay for that medication, to pay for that office visit, et cetera.
Exactly. So really any of your eligible medical expenses. So if you're going to the doctor, if you're picking up a prescription, certain over-the-counter medications, there is a laundry list of things that if you feel so inclined, you can go to the IRS's website and take a look at what you can utilize the money for.
Yeah, there's ones that you wouldn't expect either. There's actually a website called hsastore.com that actually goes through everything that you can purchase with health savings account funds. There's also ones that if you have prescription sunglasses, that's an eligible expense as well. So make sure that you know what is and is not eligible so that on the back end, you're not having to deal with any, you know, administration of receipts and all that good stuff.
Exactly. And you can also use the HSA funds on dental and vision expenses. So if you have any dental work and you have a bill for those types of services, or to your point, Zach, about glasses or prescription sunglasses, all of those types of things you could use those funds for.
So one of the biggest things that employees use an HSA fund for is not only the medical expenses, but also kind of as a retirement account. So oftentimes if you meet with your, you know, financial advisor, they will tell you, hey, as soon as you can get into a health savings account, do it if you're eligible because of the simple reason of the tax savings. So you'll hear oftentimes people call a health savings account a triple tax advantage account. And what that means is your contributions to a health savings account are before tax, right? So when you see your paycheck come out, before any taxes come out, you're going to see that HSA contribution tax-free. The growth on a health savings account is also tax-free. So if I invest those funds into the stock market, there's a 100% growth, you know, over 40 years, that growth is not taxed. And then also if you pull out either for medical expenses, vision expenses, dental expenses, et cetera, that is not taxed out of your health savings account. And then once you get to 65, it just treats it as a retirement account. So you can pull out that money, you can pull out the funds for whatever you need outside of medical, dental, vision expenses, again, tax-free. So it's a triple tax advantage account, one of the main reasons that people start investing into an HSA.
Exactly. And I think one of the cool features of the account is that it operates just like a normal checking account, except that it is just for those eligible medical, dental, and vision expenses. So the only caveats really is that the IRS each year sets forth limits for your max contribution amount. For 2025, you can contribute up to $4,300 to an HSA if you're enrolled in self-only coverage, so employee-only. And if you are enrolled in employee plus spouse, employee plus children, contribute up to $8,550 for 2025. Now, that doesn't mean you have to contribute the max. Many people try to hit that max so you can, again, get that tax advantage savings. And the other nice thing is you keep the money, so it doesn't go away at the end of the year like maybe some other types of accounts that you've heard of, such as flexible spending accounts, HRA. That money is yours to keep and goes with you. As long as you have it.
Yeah, and a point of clarification there is if you are, let's say, enrolled in a family, right, you have your spouse, you have a couple of kids in the plans, all of your funds are eligible to pay for their medical expenses as well. So it's not just the employee in this case, right? If I have a kid and he goes to a pediatrician appointment, my funds that I contribute to my HSA, anybody who's enrolled underneath my plan is eligible for HSA expenses.
Correct. Anyone, so if it's your spouse or any of your tax-dependent children, they are eligible to utilize the funds that you put into the account.
And then I wanted to clarify as well and go maybe a little bit more in depth on the year over year. So you mentioned there's a couple of different accounts. There's a health savings account. There's a health reimbursement account. There's flexible spending accounts. We'll go over each of them in its own little podcast, right, over the next couple of weeks. But Over year, health savings accounts, they grow in size. So if I contribute, you said the max is $4,300 for an individual?
$4,300 for 2025.
So if I contribute $4,300 in 2025, at the end of the year, I haven't had any doctor's visits. I've gone to the doctor once. It's covered. In 2026, you're not going to start out at zero. You're going to start out at $4,300.
Yep, and then you can continue to grow upon that, and there will most likely be a new IRS limit for 2026, and then you can contribute on top of the $4,300 you've already saved.
And that $4,300, that's eligible to be invested a lot of times. That's eligible to be taken out if you have any medical expenses. It's not just sitting there. You have access to it in different ways. Again, to grow as a sort of retirement account as well if you've had great luck and not had any medical expenses.
Exactly. And let's say, hypothetically, you're enrolled in a qualified high-deductible health plan and make contributions to your health savings account year after year, but circumstances change over time and perhaps you either enroll in a PPO plan or a different type of health plan that does not qualify you to be able to contribute. The money from the HSA is still yours. You would just no longer be able to contribute if you were to switch to a new type of health plan that disqualifies you from your contributions.
So let's talk, Caroline, about a little bit how to use it, right? So I've got a prescription. I go to Kroger, let's say, and I say, hey, you know, here's my date of birth. This is a prescription I need. And they say it's $50. How do I go about actually utilizing my HSA funds? Do I have a credit card? Do I have to get a receipt and just pay it out of my own pocket? What's the process look like?
You will get your own HSA card most likely, and this happens in a couple of different ways. So number one, your employer might have a preferred banking vendor that they work with, and then they will set you up with an account. And then once you give the basic information, same as your payroll gets set up, they'll set up your routing number, account number, and whatever amount you choose to have deducted on a biweekly or semi-monthly basis, however, goes into your account. You get a HSA card that operates just like a debit card for your healthcare expenses, and you would get that out, swipe, save your receipts. In the event that you were to ever get audited by the IRS, you would want to be able to substantiate the fact that you did use the money on eligible healthcare expenses. Additionally, if your employer does not have a preferred banking partner, you can choose whatever bank you'd like to set it up with, and then again, just provide them with the account number and routing number, and your payroll department will set it up and make sure your deductions are happening.
Yeah, one of my favorite things, for example, for ours, you can't use your HSA debit card on things that are not HSA eligible. So if you go in and you swipe for, you know, some supplements or something along those lines, most of those aren't covered. So then it just kicks it back. So oftentimes you're prevented from making any wrong decisions a lot of times because it's hard to know what is and is not covered under HSA when it comes to, you know, vitamins, like different things like that. But the majority of the time, the HSA card is going to tell you, hey, I'll work if it's eligible. If it doesn't work, then it's not going to be. A good example is this is Walgreens, for example. You can go in and you can swipe your HSA card. If it is not an eligible item, it will decline that card. Same way with Kroger, right? Kroger has so many different things. They really protect on, okay, is it HSA eligible? Is it not HSA eligible? If you do happen to use your HSA card or HSA funds on something that is not an eligible expense, what are the repercussions, so to speak? And you mentioned saving receipts. If I were to get audited and they said, hey, this isn't a eligible HSA expense, what are the repercussions? What are the implications to me?
You could get taxed on that item that you purchased in the event that you do accidentally purchase something. Say you go to Kroger and you accidentally include some of your grocery items and it doesn't catch it for some reason. There is a way for you to pay the funds back into your HSA. So I would just encourage you to reach out to whomever your HSA banking vendor is to help you sort through that process. And to your point, Zach, it's a little bit hard to do these days because a lot of the cards are considered smart cards. So the technology is built in that once you make the purchase, it will approve or deny it based on what you are purchasing.
And ultimately, if you don't, they just treat it as additional income that at the end of the year when you pay your taxes, they're going to say, hey, you had a $100 purchase that wasn't HSA eligible. You know, you owe $10 in taxes, yep, or whatever that number comes out to be. Caroline, you mentioned this a little bit before. Let's say I left it for a PPO or a different type of health plan that I can no longer contribute to an HSA. It's kind of along the same lines. Let's say I left my employer, right, and I no longer have access to an HSA, or maybe I just choose a different plan that I can't contribute to one anymore. You talked a little bit about it, but elaborate on how the amount of money in my bank account changes, or would it change, or how that kind of works.
So the amount would not change. Whatever the balance is when you switch plan designs, that balance carries forward with you. However, the change that will occur is that you can no longer contribute to the account. So let's just say you have $5,000 left in the account at the time that you switch plan designs. You still have $5,000 to utilize on eligible medical expenses. You can just no longer add to that amount by way of saving.
And if I go to a different employer who has an HSA, I can port my cover. I can port my amount, right? So I can say, hey, you know, we're switching banks. I'm using Charge Snyder right now. Now we're going to use HSA Bank. There is a process that you can run through to get those funds transferred over so that you don't have to administer two different bank accounts and you can still continue to use.
Correct.
And contribute to those funds.
Yes. The only thing is to just be mindful of whenever that switch occurs, that you're keeping track of how much that you have contributed already for that year so that you still are within the guidelines of the IRS contribution limits.
So I think the three main takeaway points here that these are the main reasons that people open a health savings account is, number one, it helps you pay for medical, dental, vision expenses. Anything that you can imagine that is HSA eligible, you can use tax-free funds to pay for that on the back end. Along the same lines of the tax-free, it is a huge tax advantage to max out HSAs over time and to grow them towards retirement. And then number three is that you don't have to use those funds in that year for it to continue to grow annually, year over year. Again, a couple additional savings accounts that we'll talk about later are a use it or lose it type scenario, whereas a health savings account continues to grow year over year over year.
You got it.
Well, thank you guys. Join us next week as we talk about flexible spending accounts, another type of health savings account. Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative.